Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Jay here for Stretford Paddock. Crystal Palace 4, Manchester United 0. This is the live review. Joining me, as always, is Mr. Joe Smith. Yep. Joe, I mean, I'm running out of words. You know, like, a few months ago, we were saying I was running out of words to describe Kobbie Mainoo. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm running out of words to describe Manchester United, but for the wrong reason, for the opposite reason. It just every time you think we hit a rock bottom, we seem to find another one. And I keep going on about it, and I will keep saying it. My worry is, this season is completely unravelling. And by the time we get to the FA Cup final, I think we're in danger of just getting absolutely hammered. I mean, I don't see any positives from tonight. Mm. I mean, we started badly and got worse. I mean, what did you make of that performance?
There aren't any positives. The only thing I can think is the fact that we sat here 2 years ago and sort of watched similar results, similar performances under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and he lost his job. Now, we're seeing the same thing again. We saw it under Rangnick as well. We've seen it under Jose. We've seen it under Van Gaal. We've felt this. Like, shambolic is on the thumbnail. Disgrace, whatever word you want to use. We've seen it over and over and over again. We have ends to the season like this where, even after we won all those games in a row under Solskjaer, we still ended the season like this. Mm. Do you know, like, that people sort of forget that. That season, that record-breaking run we had that culminated in that PSG win, That same season finished like this.
We lost at home to Cardiff, didn't we?
We were getting battered every single week. Like, this club and this team and whoever the manager is capable of nights like this, of seasons like this. We have one good season, one shit season. One good season, one shit season. That's what we've been doing for a decade. Something has to change. We have to start doing things differently. Like, this is bigger than just Casemiro giving the ball away a shitload of times, or Onana being a bad keeper, or is Ten Hag good enough or not? Those questions need to be asked, but we need to ask and start answering bigger questions than this. Why are we seeing the same cycle week in, week out, year in, year out? We're getting to 10 years of this now, where at the end of the season, every other season, we completely fall apart. And if it weren't for the FA Cup final, God knows what these results would be. Because it's already 4-0, and this is when half of those players are playing for their place in a cup final. Would it have been 7-0 if the FA Cup final wasn't there? Do they care that little that we're seeing their worst possible performances when you're trying to fight for the chance to win a trophy against your biggest rival? And instead, the sort of games leading up to that look like we can't be asked to be there. I don't understand it, and I don't understand not just what we're seeing now, but the fact that we keep seeing it. This is a pattern, this is a rotation, this is a cycle that we keep seeing. And I can't get my head around it. We have to break this cycle somehow, whether it's getting rid of a load of players, whether it's actually sticking with the manager for once, whether it's going big and changing a lot. I don't know what it is. And hopefully Ineos do, because we can't keep doing this. me and you sitting here again after when it looks like another manager might lose his job for Manchester United, having had a good year 1 year and getting sacked the next. It just keeps happening, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Like, I mean, it is really frustrating. There's loads of comments and loads of chat. I agree with everything you've just said, and it is a scary thought on where we'd be. We didn't have the cup final to play for. I think some of these players actually might not want to play in the cup final. They might be looking at it and going, do I really want to be part of a team that gets battered by Manchester City at Wembley? Pecky says, please talk about when we were good for a bit. I think that's the brew, really. That's what we do on there, and that'll continue. Steve Doyle says, just concede in the centre circle, take 3-0 in the final. Ant L says, I can accept losing, but in the right way. Loads of angry, sweary face emojis. Pete, who's been a member of the academy for 20 months, think it's time to have an exodus of the big money prima donnas and make a new babes.
How many times could that sentence have been said over the last 10 years? How many? Honestly, every single season.
I think at the end of Moyes' season, you would have said, right, we need to get rid of some of the players who've fallen off since Fergie retired.
Yeah.
At the end of the Van Gaal, even after the end of the first season, there was a question mark over a few of those players. End of second season, when we finished sixth, you were like, look, this isn't good enough. I know we won the FA Cup. We need to have a fire sale almost, a bit of an exodus. Obviously, Mourinho's first season was all right. It was good, won two trophies. But even in the league, we struggled. Second season, we finished second, it's not the end of the world, but you can see there's a few players that weren't great. He sat by what, Christmas the following year?
Yeah.
Again, you've got that over end of that Ollie first season where you need to get rid of a load of players. You're right, it just keeps going. At the end of Ragnick, we thought there was a load of players that needed to go. Kaz Mofo has been a member of the first team for 40 months, says ego over principles and standards. These lots on the pitch don't give a damn. Also, Sam Wise 877 says, you keep talking about the cup final. They know we aren't going to win, so what's the incentive? I've checked out, never mind these fools.
Yeah, but they're paid hundreds of thousands of pounds a week to not check out and to think they can win. We're not held to the same standard as the players. They need to be trying as hard as they possibly can every single week. It is their job as well as their passion or their hobby or their career or their legacy, whatever you want to say. This is also their job.
No, I agree.
You know, they're not just being paid to win, they're being paid to try. And hopefully the winning comes with that. But you look at some of the performances tonight and you think, how can you think that this is acceptable? Like some of the just lazy, just carelessness that we've seen on the pitch today. Casemiro there pulling his face down, obviously frustrated. He's got the captain's armband. And it was a woeful performance from him. And I don't think necessarily he doesn't want to win or he's not trying. But you just look at some of the defending and the choices he made in giving the ball away, allowing the opposition. You think, maybe on that last goal, the fourth goal, when you've got the ball coming to you and you're not sure if you're going to get it or there, maybe just go through him. Maybe take the man out. Maybe put an elbow in the guy's back and push him over. Lose a foul. But at least don't just give the ball away without trying to do anything. Like, some of the decisions that we're seeing from these players are the decision-making of players who are completely lost. They look completely bereft of anything. And, obviously the manager isn't able to pick them up in this moment, and we've seen it time and time again.
We just saw some stats there where it was like, I think it was 18 shots from Palace, 10 on target. You can't keep doing that, man. We keep doing this every game, conceding so many shots. And when you've got a team like Palace, you've got a bit about them. I mean, it's not even like they converted all their shots. They had 10 on target and 4 of them went in. Do you know what I mean? But it's been coming, this, and we've seen it a few times where we actually had been beaten badly. But it could have been a lot worse tonight, to be honest with you. There was a couple of opportunities towards the end where, I think, was it Edouard at the post?
Yeah.
There was a couple of blocks. There was a blom from Wan-Bissaka where the ball was played across. I mean, 4-0 is woeful, but it could have been a 5 or a 6. We've got Ronaldo Brown with us. I don't know if he's got some stats there on his phone, but we'll hear from him in a minute. We're going to be hearing from Andy Tate in a little bit later on as well. So make sure there's over 4,000 people watching. You might not like what's happening, but like the video. And if you're not doing already, subscribe to the channel. Pecky says, even San Marino are having a pop at us on Twitter. Oh, God, it's all happening.
They can fuck off as well.
Yeah.
Try scoring a goal before you start having to go at the team that's won the most fucking Premier League titles ever.
Well said.
Know your place. Shut up.
Also, this like thing of having a dig at Kobbie Mainoo, I don't know if it's people trying to be funny or just rival fans having a dig or whatever, but get a fucking grip. Go on, Ronnie. What have you got to say about this shambolic performance?
Nah, I feel like this is probably more a review where you do speak about all the issues that we've seen surface again today rather than look at the numbers, because the numbers are pretty much the usual, where Palace have had 18 shots and our goal, which is just about the average we concede. Obviously, we average, I think, the second or third most shots against us. But tonight, I don't know, we had a little bit of a Watford away under Ollie. feel.
Well, in terms of the manager's last game?
It just felt, not necessarily last game, but a bit of a nail in the coffin. If Ineos were probably 50-50 before this game, it's probably swung more in a favour of them. Because I think they'll obviously see the public perception. I know that there's a lot of people, as you see with the poll, that were still on his side. But I feel like we sound like a broken record coming in week after week, time after time, like lamenting the same issues. It's just too easy to play against, really. And the annoying thing is, and the frustrating thing is, Palace have beat us 4-0, and it doesn't even feel like they had to play that well or they've had to try that hard. We're so lightweight, so featherweight, so like there's really nothing to us. And what I don't get is, obviously, the injury standpoint has definitely hampered us. And you've seen it tonight. The centre-back pairing against Elise, Mateta and Eze and these type of profiles, when you've got the likes of Casemiro and Johnny Evans at the back, that's always going to be a bit of a problem. But at the same time, you're still seeing the same structural faults that are hurting us. And I'm not going to lie to you, you cannot look at that performance today and just blame injuries alone. Injuries are a factor, but if you blame injuries alone on how we've performed today and losing 4-0 like that against a Palace team that probably, I don't know, I reckon our starting 11 probably has a better value. I know people might mention that we need better players. As far as I know, I think every single one of, apart from Martinez, pretty much every single signing that we've had under Ten Hag was available tonight. So I just think I'm almost getting fed up of this. I feel like I'm almost checked out, and I'm not gonna lie to you, I've been quite hesitant to say that players have down tools, because I don't think I've really seen that when I've been watching. I feel like it seems to be probably a lack of quality sometimes in the personnel, which is valid. Obviously, we've talked about the tactical issues time and time again, but I think Casemiro today, he looked like a man that mentally checked out.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie, he looks like he's almost mailed it in. And obviously, this is sometimes, it's crazy to say that about a serial winner like him, but you've got a player that's 31, 32, the writing's on the wall, not really got much to play for, he's on huge wages in a latter stage of his career, and he's playing like he doesn't really give a shit. Because when you look at United, it's a rebuild, it's a project, that's what it is. He knows he doesn't really have a future in that.
Yeah.
And then they're the players that you've got to rely on when you're away in the Premier League against teams like Palace at Selhurst Park under the lights. You get performances like that, absolute shite.
I think we'll probably see a different Casemiro in the cup final. Do you know where he knows that if he does put a performance in, it's another medal around his neck? And that's what we brought him in to do, to help us win trophies. But like Ronaldo said, we're in a rebuild. And a 32-year-old in a rebuild isn't much use long-term, is it? He's not going to be here when we next win our Premier League title. Impossible. Do you know what I mean?
And do you know what? I'm not even asked about Casemiro as much, because I don't think he has got a future at Manchester United. I just feel like we're wrecking players. I feel we're going to wreck Kobbie Mainoo if we keep playing him in this system with fucking no one around him. Yeah. And he's asked to do the job of two midfielders when he's 18 years old. That's a joke, that. Yeah. Like, a club like Manchester United having an 18-year-old, basically asking him to do the job of two men in midfield, is farcical. And when he looks behind him, he's got a half-fit Johnny Evans and a Casemiro, as Ronnie said and you've said, has mentally checked out. And he looks in front of him, he's got Christian Eriksen, who's, no disrespect, I like Eriksen, but his legs just aren't there in a minute. They're not, and he's probably not there full stop in terms of what you need. Mason Mount, who I think Ronnie said he was busy. Again, though, look at who he's got around him. Look at what Mainoo's got around him. And he didn't have a great game today, Kobbie Mainoo. But I think there's reason for that. You put Kobbie Mainoo in the midfield where he's got Bruno alongside him and he's got a Casemiro from the beginning of last season alongside him, he'd be fucking great. Yeah. But he hasn't. And you're asking him to do all this job, and then we're wondering why he's dropping off a little bit. And this can have a long-term effect on certain players. It can, and you're in danger of running some of these players into the fucking ground.
Yeah.
And that's what worries me, is when this rebuild comes around, you're not going to have the players you should have with the likes of Garnacho and maybe Hoyland and maybe Mainoo, because they've just been fucking absolutely battered for a season where they've had no service or they've had no one around them, or they've been running into the ground, or they've been playing when they shouldn't be playing, or they've been playing through bad patches of form, or playing when they're not 100% fit. And that's what really concerns me about some of what I'm seeing at the minute at Manchester United. And I think that's what Ineos needs to be fucking looking at. Not just worrying about whether Casemiro's going to go to Saudi Arabia in the summer. Worry about some of these younger players, because you're in danger of wrecking them. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I feel sorry for someone like Ethan Wheatley, who's coming on when we're fucking 4-0 down, whatever it is. Go on, son. Do you know what I mean? Try and help us get out of this mess. Yeah. Aminesh, I'll go through some chats and then I'll go back to you two guys. Yeah. Aminesh, Animesh, Ranjan. Fact is, we're a mid-table club whose owners inject money every 2 years when we compete post, which we return back to our default. I mean, the owners never inject any fucking money. I know what you mean, though. This queue ends the Eric Senard debate. Do you think Fergie would get a tune out of this team? Do you think we'd lose 7-0 to the Scousers, etc.? No, I don't. But fucking, we haven't got Fergie anymore, have we? That's not the question for me.
Isn't an option, is he? It's not like is it Ten Hag or a 50-year-old Sir Alex Ferguson? Is
no,
it?
He's not
an option. And if he was, he'd still be the United manager, obviously.
Oscar Grew says, stick with the manager. Would Pep have done better with his team in Eric Ten Hag's shoes? And if we're sacking someone else now, Eric Ten Hag would be top of the list. Brian Kelvin says, Ronaldo, what does swang mean? Alexi Braithwaite says, wash club, dusty club, finish club, we know, Alexi. Nace Apelele says, we don't want to see Casemiro again, even for one match. JB, oh, I've already read that out. Kaz Mofo says, believe in Fergie's words, stick with your manager. Don't forget, though, Fergie said that about Moyes. He says, your job is to stick with the next manager. That was David Moyes. And I don't remember anyone after that defeat to Everton, which is his last game, saying we should have fucking stuck with him.
I'd still stick with Ten Hag.
Yeah.
Even after this, I would stick with him. And like, we can talk about the tactics today. I know we've seen some of these issues multiple times. But, like, go through those goals individually. It doesn't matter what you tell Casemiro before the game. If he's trying to let the ball go out when he can't and he gets tackled and loses it and they score, it doesn't matter who the manager is. Like, Johnny Evans is half fit and he gets absolutely skinned. Like, some of it is just like, do you think today was a accurate representation of what Ten Hag would have us playing like if everyone was fit and everyone was confident? Of course it wasn't. We're sort of so far beyond this being Ten Hag's tactics and vision. That's why I said earlier on,
do you think?
I think we should. Do you think Ten Hag would look at that and go, yeah, that's how I wanted him?
He's not changing anything, though.
Well, no, but that's we've seen
about 20 of those performances and he's not changed anything.
Well, that's why I said we're so far beyond that I think today we should have seen something different. And maybe, I think it was obviously, I think that we should have played slightly differently because of how decimated this team
Do you know what reminded me tonight a little bit when Amrabat came on? It reminded me a little bit of Hannibal against Liverpool. You've got a player who comes on and because he's running around a lot and he's sticking a foot in a bit, it's like, fucking hell, where's this been? And it's that sad. It is sad that it just takes someone who just comes on and does a little bit of effort and you notice it because no one else is. And I just feel like there's so many things wrong at the minute. There is. Like, I know I'm a broken record and people say that in the chat and I'm sorry, but it fucking matters, that FA Cup final. It does. And I just cannot see us winning it. I just can't. Honestly, I can't.
Arsenal next.
Do you know what? This is how sad it is. I don't even give a fuck about that.
You say that. You say, the thing is, we say, oh, you don't give a fuck, but how good, it hates me to, it's tough to say, but how good Arsenal are and have been, if United play like that against Arsenal, they can score 7, 8, 9. And they've got that 8-2 to try and make up for. That is honestly no exaggeration at all. And we're playing them at Old Trafford, and there's a lot of pride that goes into that. Yeah. And I know people are joking about, obviously, you want Arsenal to win the league over City and Liverpool, but doesn't mean that we should be going to Old Trafford, bending over and losing 8-9.
I'm not going to lie to you, the way
Arsenal are good enough that if we play as bad as we have played recently and as bad as we play today, it could be embarrassing. And there's no silver lining to that. There's no way, I don't care about that game and the City FA Cup final is the only thing that I'm asked about. I don't want to see United get completely turned over at Old Trafford by Arsenal.
I'm not saying that at all. Obviously, I don't want that.
We've sort of accepted that, you know, when there's nothing to play for in terms of, like, you know, pushing for top four, you're allowed to just give up. Like, that. Why is that the sort of, like, oh, well, you know, there's nothing to play for except... But, like, there is still something to play for. You still play for Man United. You're still a footballer with... presumably with standards for yourself and your own career and your own reputation. Like, surely that's something to play for, even if we can't get Champions League football this season.
That's why when Amrabat came on, you see the difference, because he looked like someone who was up for it. And I looked like around a lot of his teammates, are just like Ronnie was saying, mentally checked out. I'm going to wrap it up there. Before I do, Deone Aloha says, why would you stick with Ten Hag? We've been through all that. Listen, if you've had enough of this manager, I get it. Because I'm not going to sit here and say it's okay watching performances like that. I understand it. Oh, just before we do go, I think, Mako, are you going to jump in quickly? Yeah. Go on, yeah. Come in for the last couple of minutes and we'll do a couple more minutes. Adam McCullough's here as well. Get your chats in. Get your comments in. Let us know what you think. Simon Robinson says, 5 of the starters today, Ten Hag bought. 84 RCJ says, I've had enough of this club. Go on.
Evans counts as one of the starters there, though. And so does Eriksen. So Eriksen. Players that were clearly brought in as squad players. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Like, I think that's a bit unfair.
There's loads of things to have a go at Ten Hag for, but the fact that Johnny Evans had to start today next to Casemiro, two of Ten Hag signings, at fucking centre back, isn't his fault. That's not his problem, is it? Also, have a go at loads of things, but Johnny Evans having to play when he's half injured because everyone is injured isn't Ten Hag's fault for signing him. If he hadn't signed him, who would we have fucking played? Me
also, you know
back.
The desperation that came when we bought Casemiro and Antony? We can point our fingers and go, the manager wanted Antony, right? The manager wanted these guys. All right, cool. But the reason the manager was so desperate for these guys that he knew in Antony, for example, was because nothing, the club didn't have a clue. The club wants to buy a goalkeeper to replace De Gea, who we knew we had to replace for years. And what did they do? They went, Anana's been all right in the Champions League, isn't it? Let's buy him. There wasn't like a list of players that we had that we thought, we've been scouting this guy, we've been scouting this guy, we've been scouting that guy. And Anana's the one that came out on top. It was like pretty much, who's the best goalkeeper? Oh, no, everyone thinks Anana's mint, let's go buy him. There was no semblance of planning.
I think the club wanted to keep him.
We knew De Gea was gone ages ago.
But I think the club wanted to keep him, and Ten Hag went, I can't have this anymore. So then they never even considered that De Gea might leave, even though his contract is running out and he's the highest paid keeper in the world. Like, that's to your point. Everything we do is one step behind. It's, we didn't see that coming. We never have a plan. We never have a backup. We never have a second idea. It's just, oh my God, we ain't got De Jong. What are we going to do now?
The trouble is for Ten Hag is, and maybe this is because we did so well last season, but after last season and then doing this, it looks bad because now all of a sudden it looks like we've got no plan, no idea, no semblance of. And all right, you can blame that on injuries, but at least, all right, we're conceding 20 shots every game against Luton, Burnley, Sheffield United, Coventry. No matter who you are, we concede 20 shots. Surely there's a way to stop that.
Yeah.
Surely there's a way where, all right, you maybe lose something that you want this team to have, but just shut it up a bit. Shut up shop. Try and nick a goal. We don't seem to be doing that, yeah. Anyway,
I'm going to wrap up there, lads. Yeah. I agree with everything you said, Macca. It's fucking, and Ronnie as well. Ronnie, a big thank you to you as always.
Cheers, mate.
Joe, you're going to be back tomorrow with the news. You're live news from here.
Yeah, I'll be here with the news tomorrow. Dissecting everything that's just gone on tonight. Probably.
Go and check out Mac on his channel as well. We're going to be hearing from Andy Tate and you're going to be hearing from Stephen Allison. I'm sure they've both got a lot to say about that. If you've not done already, make sure you are hitting like, share and subscribing to the channel. That's been Joe Smith. That's been Ronaldo Brown. That's been Adam McCullough. I've been Jay Moyer. This has been a live review of another disappointing night for Manchester United. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2.
We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.